One of the most endearing qualities, one of the most endearing attributes of individuals is the attribute of gratitude. Gratitude. I asked the children up and downstairs when I gave my little five-minute challenge, my little five-minute charge to them earlier this morning. I asked them to think of the nicest thing that they had ever done to someone. And I said, raise your hand when you thought of the nicest thing that you have ever done to someone. Well, they struggled with that one a little bit. There was a lot of hands down. And I said, okay, well, just think of one nice thing that you have done for someone else. Well, maybe that was a little bit easier. And I asked them, now I want to ask you this question. Did that person ever say thank you to you for what you did? And it was very interesting to hear the chorus. No, yes, you know, all these different ones are saying this. And I asked them, has there ever been a time when you have done something nice for someone and they've never said thank you? Now, I suspect if I were to ask you that question, you'd be able to bring back an example. You'd be able to have a recollection. Yeah, you know what? I did something nice to that person. You know, they never said thank you. Why is that such a powerful memory in so many of our minds? It's because the idea of sacrifice, the idea of giving to someone else and not having them reciprocate in gratitude is to our nature, is to our flesh, a very, very difficult thing to accept. I still remember that to this day there was a Christmas gift that I gave to someone. I was younger, I spent my own money on it. I was excited to give that gift. And this person, through no ill will or no attitude of disrespect, simply was busy and didn't really very much communicate things. And remember, I felt so bad. I felt, man, I really was intending to excite this person by my gift. And that idea of gratitude is one that each one of us would grapple with when it's coming our direction or when it's not coming our direction. But as we look at this passage in Luke 17 that has, that's really its central theme, the gratitude of one out of the 10 lepers that were healed, there's something that I would like to pull out that for us to take a look at when it comes to our gratitude toward God. What does our gratitude toward God look like? Why are we grateful to God? And what I'd like to look at is what Jesus says here in verse 18 about this act of gratitude by this one leper. He says, there are not found that returned to give glory to God. Returned to give glory to God. Do you know what at the root of Christian gratitude is? Is a desire to give glory to God for the good things that he has done. Here in this story, 9 people missed it. 1 person got it.
And it was a Samaritan.
We are going to title this message today, this lesson, The Gratitude That Glorifies. The Gratitude That Glorifies. And we should ask ourselves this morning whether this kind of glorifying gratitude is one that is a central component of our lives who have received so much from the hand of God. First of all, let's talk about the cause of this gratitude. The cause of this gratitude. Now, this is going to be a familiar theme, a familiar topic for those of us who have been here for each week as we've studied the various miracles of Jesus Christ. We're studying, who was Jesus? What did he do? In this unit, we're talking about his miracles, his miraculous power, his signs and wonders as he restored the sick. He healed those that had physical diseases. And the condition that we see of these men here in Luke chapter 17 was one called leprosy. Leprosy. Now, we have seen Jesus before heal a leper. We have seen this an example of this kind of condition, but just so we can come into a greater understanding of that today, the idea of a leper would have been horrifying to the people of Jesus' day. Leprosy was, if you will, the AIDS of that day. The AIDS that someone looked and said, this is the horrible disease. This is the disease that is uncurable. This is the disease that is to be feared, that is to be loathed. See, this condition, though, was not just so fearful because of the effect it had on the body. Various body parts just decaying and eventually falling off. We've seen in what is today known as Hansen's disease, this awful, awful effect that has body parts literally just dying in a living person. And this disease was so horrible, not just because of its effect, but because of the effect it had on everyone around. You see, the leper, because this disease was incurable, the leper was the one who was quarantined. The leper was the one who was put off to the side, who was made the outcast. You remember when we had the big scare of Ebola? That horrible, horrible disease, the spread of that disease. What was the response to someone who had Ebola? Where did they go? They were the one going in the chamber where no one else was going to be. Everyone coming in would have to wear these, you know, biochemical suits so there would be no infection spread. And the idea of these lepers was that they were to keep their distance from anyone. They were not to live in the city. They were to be separated. They were to be shunned.
Was it contagious?
Yeah, well, that certainly, yes. That was the reason that they would that they would quarantine these people here. But even the Jews of that day took it a step further. Jews would, I'm remembering that, I believe it was some priest who would kind of appraise himself for throwing rocks at lepers, avoiding even the street where a leper had been. I'm not going to go around there. We're going to stay away from these horrible people. And isn't it interesting that it says here in verse 11, and it came to pass as he, that's Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Samaria was the area that was the outcast area. That was the half-breed, so to speak. That was the day when those Jews who considered themselves the pure race, they were the right race. They were God's favored people. They looked at the Samaritans as being the ones that were beneath them.
Sort of like the caste system of India.
That's right. Or even what we've seen in this country with racism, where you say, because you look different than me, you're not as valuable in God's eyes as I am. It's a horrible attitude. But the Jews looked at the Samaritans and said, no, stay away from us. Stay away from us. And so Jesus goes through this. And verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers. Now look at this phrase, which stood afar off. They knew their place. They knew where they were supposed to be and weren't supposed to be. And yet in their condition, they cried out to God. They said, hey, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus' compassion worked toward them as it worked toward people all throughout the gospel record that had diseases. His heart of compassion was moved to them. And he followed this with a command. Look what he says to them. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. Why did he say that? Isn't it interesting the way that Jesus healed people? Some blind person, he'd touch their eyes and they'd be healed. To others, he'd simply speak the word and they'd be healed. To others, he'd come and he'd lay his hand on them and it would be healed. To another, a woman comes behind with this disease and comes and simply touches his garment, just touches his clothes, and she was healed instantaneously. Jesus healed in many, many different ways. But do you know what's wonderful about this healing? He said, go, show yourself to the priest. There was no indication. He didn't say, hey, I heal you, now go. He said, go, show yourself to the priest. This is really a remarkable statement. Now, why would he have made this instruction? Turn back to Leviticus and chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. This was the law of God Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book in the Bible, Leviticus 14, and in the Old Testament, God had very strict rules for the treatment of this disease called leprosy. Now look what he says here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take from that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And on it goes to describe the sacrifice that should be made in the case of a leper that had been cleansed, that had been healed. So here is Jesus fulfilling this law. He is living according to the law of the people. And he looks at them and he says, hey, go to the priest. These people would have known that if they were going to be cleansed, they needed to be accepted back into society. They needed to go to the priest. Jesus says, go. That was his command. And look, third here, at his cure. I love this very simple statement from Luke. He says, and it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Can you imagine for these men what had happened when Jesus looks at them and says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. And they start turning on that road to go toward the priest, likely to Jerusalem. Here there, Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. They are coming up. They're standing afar off. They're saying, hey, Jesus, have mercy. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They turn and start walking, and suddenly they're healed. That leprous flesh suddenly becomes like the flesh of a little child. Suddenly those body parts that had been decaying and that were about to fall off suddenly have life again. Suddenly have vitality. They look at themselves. They look at each other. All 10 of them are completely healed. Misery had loved company, and now healing loved company. These 10 men, can you imagine the joy that filled their heart as they turn to walk? You know, Jesus loves to show these little pictures of faith, loves to show these little pictures of what trust and belief in him looks like. And it's like what he says to the man that had the withered hand, that had a hand that was not able to work. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, stretch forth your hands. Reach out your hand. The man might have looked and said, well, what do you mean? I can't. But the moment the command of Jesus worked in that man's mind, he said, okay, and he was healed. He was healed just like that. Here Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And he says, okay. They say, okay, I will. And immediately, as they went, they were cleansed. A perfect and complete healing. So here is the cause for this gratitude. Something great has been done for these men. The power of Jesus Christ has been made manifest to them, has healed them from this awful, loathsome disease. Now what I'd like us to consider here, secondly, is a great contrast. A great contrast. It's interesting, isn't it? 9 men of the 10 go right on continuing to the priest. One man, only one of the 10 has another thought in mind. Now, we're going to look at this, first of all, by pointing out a commonality. What was common to all 10 of these men? Do you know what all 10 of them did? All 10 of them prayed. Do you know that? All 10 of them were here in this group lifting up their voices, and because leprosy would affect the voice, it was likely more like a croak. It was more likely almost a whisper. They lifted up their voices and if you will, moaned to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. You know that's what prayer is? Prayer is looking to God and asking Him to have mercy on us. These, all of them, prayed. And do you know this is a very common reaction to each of us? I would say every single person in here, one of your first reactions when something bad happens in your life, when something goes wrong in your life that you didn't anticipate, that you didn't expect, is to say, hey, God, can you help? Can you help? Now, sometimes this shows us that our priorities are wrong in the first place, because it takes something wrong for us to actually go to Him. We should have been going to Him every step in the way, not just when something went wrong. But suddenly when we're brought to our knees, when we fall flat on our face in life, suddenly God becomes a very real proposition. It's like, okay, God, I've kind of blown it here. Can you help me? All 10 of them prayed. Only one of them praised. You see that? How often is it our reaction to pray to God, pray, God, please help me, and when He helps me, we go right on our way as if nothing happened. We forget about the fact that He was the one who did it, that we had asked Him to do it. You see, 10 prayed and one praised. We see here the choice. Put yourself in the shoes of these men. The shoes of these men. These men had suffered from this awful disease that was affecting every single aspect of their life. Every single day of their life was marred by this awful disease. And suddenly they have complete relief as they're walking on the road to the priest. They're walking on the road. Now, what do? They were confronted with a choice. Here is what 9 of them chose. Keep on walking. Keep on going. Keep right on moving. Now, do you see here that they could have had a perfectly good excuse? That's what Jesus told me to do. He told me to go to the priest. So I'm going to go to the priest. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to obey Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what He said. I'm going to go to the priest. But one person knew that when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, it was not a reason for him not to show gratitude. And what I'd like you to underline in your Bible, if you are of the underlining type, is 2 words. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, now these 2 words, turned back. Underline that word in your Bible. Turned back. And now look at verse 18. One more word for us to look at here. There are not found that, this word, returned to give glory to God. Do you know gratitude in your life involves a turning back? It involves a turning around. It involves a looking back. Here are these men going down their life. They've been healed. They're walking to the priest. God told them to do it. Jesus said, go do it. And one of them says, oh, wait a second. No, I got to go back first. Now, here is one of the reasons why our natural inclination is not toward gratitude. It's because we don't often turn back. Because we don't often return. We pray, everyone does. And then God gives, and we keep right on going. We say there's life to live. There's things to pursue. Hey, there's a command that God has given me to fulfill. And in the busyness of our life, in the hecticness of our life, we don't often stop where we are, stop in our tracks, pause the activity, look back and say, oh, I got to return. Because that's what He did. Now, we'll see this, and I've seen this so often in my life. What is the reason that we don't have fellowship with God, we don't praise God, we don't worship God, we don't thank God, because we're just too busy. And we can be busy in good things. You can be busy. I got to get up and go to work today. I got to support my family. Yes, you do. God told you to do that. That's right. I got to get up and I got to go to church today. I got to get up and ride the bus today. I got to get up and teach my Sunday school class today. I got to get up and preach today. No, that's right. God's told you to do that. But none of those things are inconsistent with turning and looking backward at what He's done. None of those things are inconsistent with turning on your heel like this one leper and saying, no, I got to go take care of this business first. It's been said in life, and I'm sure it's a paraphrase, but it's been said that the things that are pressing in life are very rarely important, and the things that are important in life are very rarely pressing. What does that mean? The things that are urgent in your life, oftentimes, if you step back and think about it, are not all that big a deal in the broad scheme of things, in the great scope of life. And the things that are the most important things in your life are very rarely time sensitive. Just give you an example. Time spent with the Lord. I would say, venture to say that very rarely is the time you getting up and really digging into the Word of God, praying, seeking to have fellowship with him. Very rarely is that something that, at least in our natural mind, we view as something, you know what, if I don't do this today, man, this is absolutely a must. This is, I'm looking at my watch, I've only... It's not pressing. What are pressing? All the distractions. All the things that we have to get done today, we segment it out day after day. This man had all these ten men, I got to get back to my life. My wife is waiting for me. My family is waiting for me. My farm is waiting for me. My friends can't wait to hear what happened to me. But one said no. One turned back and glorified God. And notice third here, the consequence. The consequence. Notice what Jesus says to this man. Jesus answering says, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Jesus noticed. I wonder how oftentimes he's asking us today, where are the 9? God's blessings here are not just to saved people. God's blessings are to all people. The blessings of life, the blessings of breath, the blessings of health. We saw this just last night. One of the Supreme Court justices of the United States passed away in his sleep, 79 years old. Life is precious, and God is the one who is upholding life for all of creation. How many of us in our daily lives wake up and the first thought is, hey, thanks for giving me another morning. Thanks for giving me another breath today. Thanks for giving me this. Thanks for giving me that. Jesus might well ask us, where are the 9? Where are the 9? And then he says in verse 19, he says unto the one, he says, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Isn't it interesting? There's no indication that Jesus revoked the cure from those other 9 men. It's not like Jesus says, hey, you want to know what? You're not going to come back and say thanks? Okay, guess what? Enjoy your leprosy again. No, Jesus' compassion on them, his healing was to them. They went on their way, and for all we know, they lived a very happy life. But one man got something more. One man came back, returned, turned on his heel, came back, and Jesus said to him, hey, you know what? It's your faith that made you whole. Now, I believe that this man received something more than physical healing that the other 9 got. I think what Jesus is saying here is your faith, when you came back and worshiped me and fell down in gratitude, your soul was cleansed. I think that's what he's saying. But in any event, do you see here what this gratitude got this man beyond what the other 9 did? He learned something more. He had a fellowship, he had a communion with God that surpassed all the other 9 who took their gift from God and went right on running down the road. Jesus said to him, hey, it's your faith. Your faith has made you whole. Can you imagine the lesson that that man took for the rest of his life, hearing those words of Jesus? Jesus holding up the importance of faith, being connected to the power of God. Now you see, friends, there's a very real consequence. God's blessings to you will not necessarily be revoked when you don't stop and be grateful to him, when you stop and be thankful to him. But what? The principle, the idea is that your gratitude opens up your eyes to more about who God is, more fellowship with him, more communion and intimacy with him. This man experienced this wonderful blessing of Jesus Christ looking at him and saying, your faith has made you whole. But I'd still like us to take a look. We've seen the cause of this gratitude. We've seen the contrast of this gratitude. I'd still like us to look at what this gratitude looks like itself. And I'm going to call it the character of this gratitude. The character of the gratitude of this man that set this as a wonderful example of the kind of gratitude that we should have. First of all, the very, if you will, ground floor of this gratitude is what it says. What it says. Look at what this man had to say to Jesus. And he fell down, verse 16, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. What gratitude is, at its very root, is, hey, thank you. Thank you, God. In other words, it recognizes that a benefit has been given. It recognizes that something good, not my own, has nonetheless been granted to me. When someone gives me a gift, I say thank you. Why? Because I didn't purchase that gift. They did. And they are giving it to me at no cost. And so I say to them, I am receiving this gift. Thank you. Now, do you know how full Scripture is of the theme that in our daily lives we should be pouring out with our voices thanksgiving to God? Scripture says, give thanks for all things. Give thanks in everything. I love what Psalm 103 says. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, gifts, all the things that He's given you. If you were to just stop for a moment, and if you were to try to write down a list of every good thing that Jesus Christ in God has done for you, you'd never run out. You'd never run out. This is something that has been a really big blessing to Tabitha and me, and I would encourage you to do it as couples, husbands and wives, or as families. Take time to simply together pray for every good thing. Thank God for every good thing that He's done for you. Do you know it's hard to be really down in the dumps and irritated and frustrated with life when your mind is thinking about all the good things that God has done for you? Do you know it's hard to really be at odds as a husband and wife if you're united together in thanking God for everything good that He's done for you? Just stop. Just you pray, husband prays, and then wife prays. And you just do one thing at a time. Just, hey, say thank you, God, for this. Oh, yeah, and I thank you for this. It's a wonderful thing to just take time to be thankful. And that spirit, cultivating that spirit of gratitude, cultivating that spirit of thanksgiving is such a powerful thing. Ephesians 5 connects that to the work of God in the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 18 says of Ephesians 5, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think that covers it all? Giving thanks always for all things? In other words, it's to be your heart. It's to be always overflowing. Is that your heart today? Is that your heart as you woke up? Just to be always overflowing with thanksgiving and gratitude for what He has done. But I'd like us to know that gratitude is more than just what it says. It is what it feels. What it feels. I love what this man did. He came to give thanks to God, but he combined that, Scripture says, by falling down on his face at His feet. Now, wouldn't you have? Wouldn't you have, if you were Jesus, if you were just been healed, you come to Him and you literally fall down on the dusty road on your face as if you grab His feet. What are you saying? I'm not worthy for what you did for me. You see, there are some people, and you maybe have experienced this, the person that says thank you to you, but inwardly there's this feeling that, well, I could have done it for myself if I had wanted. I'll say thank you for doing this, but really, you know, it's not that big a deal to me because I could have too. In other words, gratitude in scriptural terms is connected with humility. With humility that says, not only God, thank you for what you did, but I recognize that I could not. You know, that's one of the reasons we're not grateful enough to God is because we look at the good things and we pat ourselves on the back for us. Hey, God, why did I get that job? Well, we might say with our lips, hey, God, thank you for that job. But you know, really, sometimes, and we may not even verbalize this, and we may not even really think about it, but do you know that maybe what's in our heart is, you know what, I had a pretty good resume. I've worked hard for my degree. You know what, I really did deserve that job, didn't I? I kind of did deserve this wonderful wife that I have and these great kids. I've done a pretty good job of parenting, haven't I? You know, the person like the leper who says, no, there's nothing good in me. Without you, Jesus, I can do nothing. There's nothing good coming out of this guy unless it's from you. And so therefore, because I know that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, that means that every good thing does not only involve me looking up to him and saying thank you. It involves me looking down and saying, I could not have. What a wonderful thing, this gratitude of this man, to simply pause, to fall down and say, you know what, there's nothing that I could have done. The humility of gratitude. So the character of this gratitude is what it says, thank you. What it feels is humility. And third, let's understand the character here of gratitude as what it intends. What it intends. You see, this man had a very clear message to get across. Verse 15 says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. What does it mean to glorify God? Doesn't it mean very simply to hold him up as being wonderful? Hold him up as saying, truly, you are special. You are different than all of your creation here. You are set apart as holy and loving and merciful and powerful in all your attributes, in all your beauty, in all your uniqueness. Glorify God. Now that's what gratitude does. Gratitude is not simply content with saying, hey, thanks God. Gratitude is not simply content with saying, hey, thanks God, and recognizing that we ourselves could not. Gratitude is concerned that God is the one who is held up as special in the eyes of everyone else. That's why a grateful spirit is such a spirit that is caught by others. Gratitude is a spirit that flows out of us to say, God, you are good. And everyone else around us looks and says, well, you know, that's right. He is good. He is good. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And these people that were around, as this one man, the nine keep on going, the one man turns back, and suddenly with this redeemed voice, with his healed vocal cords, suddenly with a loud voice, starts yelling and saying, praise God for what he's done. All the other people are looking at him and seeing his example. You see, people are going to see your example of a grateful person. Even when bad things come into your life, when you give thanks always for all things, knowing that all things will work out for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, when you are the one who is constantly thanking God in humility for what He has done and holding Him up as special, those around you will see it. They'll see it. And by God's grace, that will be an instrument of turning them to see all the good things that God has done for them. Friends, the gratitude that glorifies is the one that each of us should aspire to. And it's the one this morning that we should stop for a moment and simply think, where is my gratitude? What is my attitude like? Does it look more like this one leper? Or does it look more like those nine that got the blessing but just kept right on going? Hear the question of Jesus Christ today. Where are the nine? Where are the nine? What I'd like to end here this morning with is just us taking a few minutes in silence, just taking a few moments, and just from your heart, in your own mind, just giving God thanks. Just start going down the list. Start going down the list of all that God has done for you. And let's just take some time of some silent gratitude, and we'll close with a moment of prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Father, may our sacrifice of praise not end with this morning, but as we leave here this afternoon. May our hearts be overflowing with gratitude for all that you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.